John chapter 20, turn in your Bible there. My name is Jeff Aiken, and I'm so glad that we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is risen this resurrection day. Thank you to my sister Katie for wading in with the scripture. We know what follows that section is Mary outside the tomb and the exchange that happens with these visitors. They ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking he was the gardener, she pleads with him, just tell me where you've put him. And of course, Christ comes on the scene and says that he's not yet ascended to his place, his place that he remains in this moment in history. And it's almost too much for Mary. And she runs back and she announces to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." It had been a long day for these unfinished disciples at this point. The day dawned with continued confusion and mourning. Thoughts of getting away from it all, returning to fishing, maybe going back to their hometown. Reflection about the course that their life might now take. Plans with Jesus seemed to be progressing until that moment. The healing of the infirmed. Crowds getting bigger and building. Good being done everywhere that they went. And then the sudden loss of Jesus. Their friend and partner. But really more than that, he was the one that gave their life purpose, in whom they trusted. And so that Friday, everything had gone horrifically wrong for this group of men. They were shaken. Unsteadiness was winning. And they retreat, hiding, wondering, each one aching for a new beginning. And so at this point in the account, we're 3 days past the crucifixion. And as the shock and horror began to slowly meld away, a general numbness sets in among these men. And those a bit further away from Christ go back to the norm. The busyness of the day beckons, retreating into the routine. But not these men. They are found without purpose. Many are talking. I told you so. The latest in a long line of self-proclaimed messiahs. The Pharisees seem satisfied, relieved as much as anything. Jesus is gone, and everything is back in order. In your Bibles, pick up the account in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the same day, the longest of days, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Sunday evening there was tense. It had been a long day already, and they were gathered together behind a locked door for self-preservation. Indeed, a manhunt was underway. The disciples heard the rumors. They knew Mary had been down at the tomb. The largest of stones rolled away. And Jesus' body was gone. Mary reports talking with these visitors, these angels, and seeing Jesus alive. Maybe the stress was indeed getting to everyone. We understand. The reports of the leaders of the Sanhedrin and the Roman force behind them coming after those that would be followers of Christ for their own execution. Lock the door. Throw as many chairs up against it as you can. All the infighting over who would be second in command. No one is sure they want to remember Jesus. Everything changes when Christ arrives. It always does. The appearance surprises them. There's absolutely no warning. Jesus doesn't arrive through the front door. He just suddenly is there among them, making His presence known. And once the group is sure that it's Him in the resurrected flesh, they're happy, overjoyed, and still somewhat confused and lacking understanding. Jesus? Jesus? And so He shows them His hands and His side. Their minds are strained. Imagine yourself there. It's all coming at them after 3 days of mourning so fast. And they inch but a little bit forward in their understanding. Jesus stands among them, by the way, and says, "Peace be with you." Of all things that He can say in this moment, His greeting is, "Peace be with you." It gives the thought of a little bit of, let's just calm down, does it not? When all seems so terribly bad, and Christ's people seem so without understanding, Jesus says simply, "Peace be with you." We should make note that locked doors do not bring this peace to the disciples. Jesus brings peace to the disciples. And it's not the illusion of a peace that a simple lock can bring. His is a real peace for the disciples. And as proof of this peace, under what authority He can even say the words with this peace, He shows them His hands, His side, His wounds. Of all things, wounds. Wounds. And it's not the actual words that bring the disciples peace at this time. It's Jesus' wounds. Have you ever wondered why Jesus even still had these wounds? To our way of thinking, in the resurrected state, our Lord and Savior is perfect. Those nail holes have been closed up. They're gone. Back to new, so to speak, a new beginning. But yet, Jesus is not. And we make note that not all healings are perfect. Things seem more like a continuation after a 3-day interlude. And like ours, in time, Jesus' wounds will scar. And they still will not disappear. Scars recall past injury and hurt, and they're reminders of His obedience to the Father and His suffering. The God-man, fully man in the flesh, suffering and the sin. Those scars remind Jesus of us. And those scars should remind us of Jesus too. Have you ever noticed the billboards that are along I-65 and over on Poplar Level, not too far from here? And the tagline on it caught my attention a couple of weeks ago. It said, "A new beginning." And I immediately liked that saying. And it says, you'll see it now, it says, "Consider a new beginning." And it conjures up thoughts of a fresh start, a do-over, a wiping away of all of our past, our mistakes, the bad decisions and terrible seasons of our life. And a new beginning seems so hope-filled. And can't we just get past these sin memories that entangle? I like to hit little white golf balls. And when golfing, my friends and I are prone to say, I want a mulligan. Really, we're prone to say, I need a mulligan more than I want one. But as any golfer knows, using a mulligan or a do-over, a chance to make the shot again, on the way to a solid round, that mulligan never really leaves your mind. And on the scorecard, you'll always forever have an asterisk on it. And you'll always, no matter what you score, remember that out-of-bounds marker and the ball laying just beyond it. And the two strokes that you didn't put down on the scorecard. And the memory is not erased. Those that use mulligans, those that buy mulligans, those that do all the things they can with mulligans, know that this is true. And so it is that Jesus' scars remain. And so the more that I thought about this billboard this week, the more that I saw the phrase is not quite true for Christians. We can indeed make a new commitment on Resurrection Sunday. Perhaps a commitment to pursue purity, practice righteousness. And those can be fine and proper responses on this day. Yet our past sins and our present ones too are real. And they're earned. And they're painful memories. Part of our journey, laying just beyond the out-of-bounds marker. And the scars of our Lord and Savior recall them all. And so we might wish them away. Well, we might want to do that. Surely, He must look down at His own hands, even now, while He continues to make intercession for us on and on and on, because we're yet unfinished and we still sin. As terrible of a thought this morning as that might be. And He sees the scars. And He remembers the price. The more that I thought about it, the more I came to see moments like this is, the new tagline, a continued beginning. A continued beginning. Another day becoming our new self, as the Apostle Paul calls it. What theologians call the journey of progressive sanctification. Now, my boys and I are building a garden shed. And you can see it on the screen or the little bookmark that we passed out on the back of that bookmark. And hopefully it was enclosed in your bulletin. And if you didn't get one, we have many more. I want to use our journey in building this shed just to illustrate my thoughts behind a continued beginning. We need a garden shed. Excuse me? We need a garden shed. The word slipped easily from her. And the men have heard these kind of comments. And you've heard them before, and you know what immediately comes next. Well, what kind of shed? And just like that, we need, and immediately we're down the road making plans and thinking through when we can begin and what materials will be needed, maybe even a new saw. In my case, a new nail gun. And all of this happens within the male mind in about a second and a half. Amy Jo floated the we need sometime beyond about a year ago. And I draw your attention to the recently constructed raised beds that are in the picture over on the right. That was the color of the original wood when we began this project. It's been a while. Now, some are really good at these things. Some of the men, and probably the ladies too, are really gifted at building things. And they're smart enough to acquire building plans. that will surely be of great assistance, minimizing material cost and maximizing efficiency, minimizing mistakes made. But this husband, no siree, Bob. When asked what it should look like, Amy Jo produced a drawing. That's good enough, boys. Grab your hammers and let's get to work. We have learned so much over this past year. What we thought might take a week has morphed into more than 1 week, to months, to aged wood, and still we're unfinished. There have been countless beginnings on this trip. Many Saturday mornings, Sam, Eli, hear the words. It's time to begin. Get set up. Get your tools ready, power plugged in, and let's go. But here's the thing. Every single one of those beginnings was necessary. Every single one of them. And through the weeks and the months, and now slightly over a year, our beginnings continued. Each necessary in the whole. Each allowing us to build higher and higher and get closer to closer to being finished. Can you just imagine if this upcoming Saturday morning I gathered my boys together and announced a new beginning? Sam, Eli, overnight I deconstructed the shed. The materials are restacked today, and today we will begin afresh, wiping away all those dreadful mistakes that we've made yesterday. Let's just give ourselves a new beginning. Now, my boys are pretty forgiving, but I would suggest that they would feel defeated. It can be utterly crushing to talk about new beginnings when we've done so much work on the journey that we're on. So as I thought about all of this, I coined a new tagline, a continued beginning. We shall continue onward, brothers and sisters in Christ. The boys and I shall continue onward in giving Amy Jo a garden shed. And while we've made many mistakes and had to even redo a few things, we'll always remember the journey and be gladder as we approach finishing. We have learned what types of tools are necessary, how to even use some of them, which way the nails go in the gun. We've learned that two or three are better than one. And nothing in the world would I trade for the journey. In some regards, the journey will be my lasting impression of this little shed. Time spent with my boys, progressing little by little in it together. And this shed represents our continued beginning together. Trust me, it's not perfect. While some may think it looks really nice in its aged wood color, we see and know the imperfections beneath the skin. Some days we're dismayed at the mistakes, and some days, honestly, we're just proud the doggone thing is standing at all. You may wonder if it'll ever be finished. This shed will never be finished. Miss Abby broke my heart this week when she said, "It sure would be nice to have some window boxes underneath the windows." Now, you'll notice on the original drawing, the plans that we were building to, there's no window boxes on this drawing. Courtney will understand there are construction addendums as well. This shed should never be finished. The Bible has much to say to us about continuing on in the faith, even though we are unfinished. And all the while, Jesus offers peace, just like to the disciples. Peace. Can you imagine that? We're unfinished, but Jesus speaks peace. Peace that everything has not been for naught. Peace that our lack of understanding is okay, and that we're growing and that we're important, and it's okay to be unfinished. And like those huddled behind the closed doors, our faith will continue to grow higher and higher, built upon past experiences, surely getting stronger week after week, month after month, year after year. And for us, this resurrection Sunday, easy for me to say, this Easter Sunday presents a continued beginning. I have learned that nothing holds us back from progressing in our sanctification and becoming image bearers more than the false belief that we can mentally erase from our cognizance all of these past failures. There's no amount of positive thinking, smiling, surrounding yourself with yes friends that will produce that in your life, brother and sister. There is no mulligan. But look at me. This too is okay. That those mistakes, those sins that have been made in the past and maybe even today, point us back to Jesus. That's why we sing. All the giants of our faith walked through their share of mistakes and failures, including men huddled behind the door this evening in Jerusalem. And here's the point. There's not a resurrection without a death. A death necessitated by sin. Some were gathered in a sanctuary on Friday night and we did a little exercise to personalize this of ours, for ourselves. As we approached the communion table, we wrote down a sin on a little scrap of piece of paper that might be holding us back in our thought life. We challenged ourselves to remember that God the Father crushed His Son for that sin. Our past sins. That thing perhaps that you're thinking of even now. My sin required it and requires it. His blood. And in His blood and only in His blood there is life and the hope everlasting. And so I'll leave you with this. This is the true meaning of Easter. Easter is not just, as our brother prayed, resurrection. Easter includes, as he prayed, the reality of sin and the fact that resurrection makes the forgiveness of sin possible. What we will call a continued beginning. In His name, possible through His wounds that have now scarred. We are unfinished, and it's okay. All glory to the King of Kings.